Right, yep. All right, well, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Today we are broadcasting from Realized Eschatology Tower because it's such a beautiful day that it almost seems as though the reign of God has come in its fullness. But of course, I'm looking here at a bunch of sinners, of which I myself am chief. Yeah, oh, right. So that's right. And so as Dej says, it's not raining and it's not raining, right? So no, but we're having a beautiful day today, and it's about to get slightly better because we're going to read some more Greek of Hebrews 12. And I believe we got as far as verse 20, which is still narrating kind of what a fearful thing it was that happened. Fearful in both the good and bad sense, happened at Sinai. But I remember we had this great form, lithobalethesetai, right? It will be stoned, right? So we'll just pick up there at verse 21. One more verse describes the old covenant and the awesomeness, if I can use a very much overworked word, the awesomeness of the first revelation of God at Sinai. So, verse 20 then, 21, Kai huto faberon ein ta phantad zamanon, Moses apen, ek fabas eme, kai entramas. So again, the writer's being nice to us English speakers here. He has been for a while. The sentences have been pretty straightforward. And huto is just a shortened form of hutos, so thus or in this way. So thus fearful faberon, ein is the linking verb, was, and now we get the subject, a substantized participle from phantazo, which means to show or manifest, the being manifested thing. So the participle would be a present participle, could be middle, but here it is passive, neuter singular nominative, and it's the subject of ein, right? So the being shown or being revealed or being manifested thing was thus fearful, Moses said, right? And now we have a kind of a quote from Deuteronomy. It's not quite exactly from the Septuagint. I am ekphobos, terrified and trembling, entramos, right? So grammatically, Moses, you know, I is the subject, and then these two adjectives would be predicate nominatives. Right, which is why they're in the nominative case. And that's it. Verse 21, pretty straightforward, right? Any questions? People certainly don't react to me this way. I mean, nobody ever enters my classes and says, ekphobos eime. Now, Dr. Lessing, good point. So Dr. Lessing, they do react that way. That's right. That's right. And he just says, come what may, let me run, right, Reed? What's that guy's name?
Ahimaaz, son of Zadok.
That's right, yeah. I was going to say Ahimelech, but I knew that wasn't right. Yeah, that's right. Ahimaaz, that's right. That's right. Come what may, let me run. You know, I used to be able to run 7.5 minute miles, Reed? Yeah, that was about 15 years ago. Yeah, so. But you're younger than I am. I am your future. Sad to say. Okay, verse 22. Now the other shoe drops. Allah, but. This is like a big but, right? Because now we're going to compare what we've had in 18 to 21 with something even more majestic and filled with awe. Allah, pros elelithata zionore, kai poletheu zontas, Yerusalem ep uranio, kai miriazin angelon. Let's see, we got to keep going here. Pan egire, kai ecclesia protatakon, ap agegra menon en uranois, kai krite theo panton, all these datives, do you see them? Kai pneumazen dekaion teteleomenon. We'll just keep going, we'll finish the sentence. Kai diathekes neas mezite, Jesu, kai haimate hrantes mu, kreton lalunte paraton habel. So this is actually a very simple sentence. It's, but you, plural, have approached. And you approach things in the dative, right? And then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 datives. And it's there are, that's the sentence, right? But you have come, Sion is indeclinable, so but given that it's are from aras, third declension, neuter noun, ares, arus, are, right? So nothing as a. You have come to Zion Mountain and to the city of God who is living, city of the living God. To, again, Jerusalem is indeclinable, but epuraneo, and the whole structure tells us that it too is dative singular, to heavenly Jerusalem. And now here's where the punctuation gets difficult, and this is muchly discussed in the commentaries. That is, where do you put the comma? See, the way it's punctuated in Nestle Aland, it would be to myriads of angels, comma. Now, panegyre, this is the noun panegyris, and it means festal assembly. Okay. Does anybody know the English word? There's actually an English word, a panegyric. Does anybody know this word? It actually is a laudatory speech, you know, like at a festive occasion. So it comes to be the speech which is made at a panegyris. So it's actually in the dictionary. So, but the word order confuses people. What does angelon modify? Do you link panegyre, which is dative singular, with ecclesia? So do you have, you know, a pane, a festal assembly, and the church of the firstborn, see? So there's actually a number of translations which are possible here. It doesn't matter too much. The real problem is the referent. What exactly are we talking about here? The one interesting thing is that a common English translation is actually not possible here. The one that lives in my head, I think, is the RSV. And it runs something like, and to myriads of angels in festal array or in festal assembly, which somehow would make panegyre adjectival to myriads or to angels. And it can't be that. It's just another dative noun, right? So what we'll do is we'll just, you know, refer you to the commentaries, and we'll just take it as it's punctuated. And so we'll translate to the heavenly Jerusalem and to myriads of angels, comma, to a festal assembly and the church of the firstborn ones. Now, who are the firstborn ones, right? Well, we don't need to solve that, but that actually is another question. Is this Christians, right? Probably, but it's kind of an unusual name for Christians, right? For the firstborn ones who have been and are written from apographo, right? Perfect participle, passive, masculine, plural, presumably masculine, plural, genitive. And the assembly of the firstborn who are written in heaven, and here's some more odd word order, literally, to a or the judge, God of all. The phrase God of all strikes commentators as so strange that they tend to translate it to God, the judge of all, which of course in Greek, as you know, because of the flexibility of word order, anything is possible, right? Not a whole lot doesn't depend on this. So we'll just take it that way. And to God, the judge of all. And here's another odd phrase, pneumasin. Now, again, there's quite a few variant readings, actually, as you're going through here. This variant is actually an odd one. It's a singular. I'm not sure. The spirit. But pneumasin is plural. And to the spirits of righteous people, again, presumably nominative, not neuter, masculine, not neuter, to the spirits of righteous people who have been and are made perfect, right? And so do you see how it's working? We're just one dative after another. And it's all coming after you have approached and are in an approached state, right? So verse 24, we're looking for a dative. We don't get it right at first. We don't get it till we get to mesite, mediator. And then you've got the genitives, diathekes neas, which modifies mesites. And to a mediator or the mediator of a new covenant, right? Jesu. Now, that fools you because you think that it's genitive, but remember that Jesu declines irregularly. So in context, this is almost certainly also a masculine singular dative. If it were genitive, it would have to be something like, and to a mediator of a new covenant of Jesus, or the new covenant which is Jesus, or something like that. But that's way too hard. Jesu is simply the same form, whether it's genitive singular or dative singular, right? And you can look it up. Kevin is looking at me suspiciously, so he doesn't believe me, but I'm older. I don't think I'm taller, but I am older. And I think I'm heavier, so that counts for something. So, the mediator of a new covenant, comma, Jesus. And here's another dative, to the blood of sprinkling, right? Now, kraton is the comparative of agathos, for no apparent reason, right? And it's neuter singular nominative, and so it's going to be adverbial, see? And we're going to connect it to lalunte, which is the present participle active, neuter singular dative from laleo, and it's modifying what? Anybody? What is lalunte? What's doing the speaking?
Blood.
Right, the blood. So, the blood of sprinkling, which will take the participle in attributive adjectival position, which is speaking betterly or better. And then para plus the accusative, it can actually be sort of like a genitive of comparison, better than, right? Better than the of Abel, or maybe just the Abel. And of course, the idea is, Abel's blood for vengeance screameth to the skies, or however that Lenten hymn goes, right? See? So the blood of sprinkling, which is to say Jesus' blood, speaks better than the blood of Abel. So that's what you've approached, the writer says. You haven't come to Zion. Now, Zion was pretty spectacular, right? But you've actually come, he doesn't call it Zion. He calls it the thing which can be touched, right? And the burning fire in verse 18, and the gloom and the darkness and the whirlwind and the sound of a trumpet, right? And all that fearful stuff. But what we've approached is even more, again, to use the overworked term, awe-filled, awesome than they, because the new covenant is better than the old. And haven't we seen that about 10,000 times in Hebrews? The new covenant, there's nothing wrong with the old covenant, in a sense. It's just that the new covenant has come now, which has fulfilled it, right? Now, the interesting thing is what he does next. He says, so watch out. Don't neglect this new covenant. If it was a bad thing to neglect the old one, it's a worse thing to neglect the new. See? So it's very hortatory. It's very, you could probably call it stern, but I don't think he's yelling. He's just sort of, it's sobering is what it is, right? Don't neglect this grade of salvation. What is it, Hebrews 4? Don't drift away from your confession, right? So he's really, it's like, heads up, pay attention, hold on, right? That's what the whole thrust of this passage is. So 22, 23, 24 was actually a very simple sentence with about 87 datives, right?
It was only
10. 10, okay, fine. Well, 10 is pretty close to 87. Any questions, any comments about all that? But again, syntactically, it was actually fairly straightforward. Okay? Great. Now, just to show you how up-to-date we are, Dave, I just realized that you have the Greek New Testament on your, what is that, an iPhone?
Yeah.
Is that? That's incredible. See? But when the end of the world comes and the sun is darkened, that won't work. You'll have to have a book the way God
intended.
The screen lights up. The screen lights up?
It's
not solar?
Is it? You can get them solar.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah.
There's an app for that.
What yeah, there's an app for that. That's why I need to get me an app. So, first, I'll have to get a cell phone. So that's right. Yeah. I was at this songwriters conference. That's the hippest I've been in my whole life, this LCMS songwriters conference. I think I was the only guy there. I was the only guy there that had the shirt tail tucked in. That was for sure. And I think I didn't have a cell phone, so I think I was the only man. Exactly, yeah. And I also wasn't wearing blue jeans, but yeah, I'm pathetic, but I'm proud. Okay, verse 25, here we go. Blepita, watch, right? Blepita me par aiteses the tan lalunta. Agar ekenoi uk ex efugan epiges par aitesamenoi tan krematidzanta. Palimalan hemes hoi tan apuranon. Apostrophominoi. Let's see. Yeah, we'll keep going. Hu he fane tain gain esalius en tata nun de ep engeltai legon. We'll get that too. Eti hapax ego seso u manan tain gain ala kai tan uranan. Quote from Haggai, as you can see from the side note there. Okay. Blepita, obviously, our good friend Blepo, isn't it nice to see a form that you know? Could be an indicative. In context, it's an imperative, present imperative, watch. And then may plus the subjunctive is a negative purpose clause, and it translates lest. You could have hina me as well. Blepita, watch lest you, we've had par aiteomai before. In this sentence, in this context, it probably means reject or neglect. Okay. Watch lest you reject the speaking guy, right? Which is probably a reference to God. Although, I was going to say it could, maybe it's blood, but it can't be blood because blood is neuter. We had blood in the prior verse, which was speaking. But this is masculine because of ton. So watch lest you reject the one who is speaking. For if those guys, uk ex efugan, did not escape from ek fugo, right? If those did not escape on earth after they had, we'll take this participle temporally, so it's the aorist participle, middle, from par aiteomai, it's deponent in our literature, the lexicon said, after they had rejected the one who was revealing to them, krematidzo means to reveal something. Palu malon, malon means rather, and palu is the, again, we have another, this would be another adverbial accusative, actually, because it would be neuter singular accusative. By much rather, or in English we would say much more, we, hemes, the ones who are turning away, apostrepho in the middle means to turn away from something. How much rather we who are turning away from the from heavens guy. And it's elliptical. You have to pull a bunch of stuff from the prior clause to have this make sense. The subject is clearly we. How much more will we not escape who turn away from the one speaking from heaven. So you have to take all kinds of stuff from the prior clause and fill in the gap in this second clause, right? And then the sentence continues, of whom the voice, or whose voice, the earth shook, saliuo means to shake, then, formerly, but now, this is from Epangelomai, its deponent. He has promised, and it is in a promised condition, right? Saying, yet once I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven, right? So, a strongly eschatological context. Of course, I'm very happy to be able to say that. It reminds us that sometimes if you read Hebrews out of context, it almost begins to sound Platonic, but you know, these kinds of statements make it very clear that the writer to the Hebrews is working with the basic biblical understanding of first age, new age, first covenant, second covenant, what God formerly did, what God will one day do on the great day. So, so it's very stern, right? Don't drift away, right? If it was a bad thing to ignore what God did first, it will be even worse. It kind of reminds me, actually, of Jesus' words, it will be better for Tyre and Sidon in that day than for you, right? So again, it'd be interesting to know what exactly is going on in the community to which this letter is addressed, right? Because it's very, it's filled with exhortation and very stern, so. Through verse 26. Questions, comments, grammar, anything?
You translated Bethangelitai mm-hmm. as perfect?
It is a perfect indicative passive.
What gives it away other than your vast knowledge?
Yeah, right. Well, there's no connecting vowel. That's probably the one unmistakable key. Yeah. Because you can't see a duplication. Yeah, it's from epangelo. And the duplication is just the lengthening of the alpha to the eta. Yep. It's actually the lack of connecting vowel that gives it away. Yeah. And if you didn't have a liquid stem verb, if you had a consonantal stem verb, you'd have all sorts of terrible consonantal crasis. So I'm very happy to have said the noun crasis, which, as you can guess, comes from the Greek word crasis. Right. So I'm thinking it would be krases, kraseos, krase, krasen, although I'd have to look it up. So, right. But it's almost time for me to teach Greek again because my morphology is slipping just a tiny bit. Hey, you know what? We're gonna finish a chapter. Here we go. Tade eti hapax de loi, tain ton salio menon, metathesen hos pe poie menon, hina mene ta me salioamena. Now, the still once... The article on anything can turn it into a noun, right? Now, the still once thing reveals, de la'o. It's an omicron contract. This is just a present indicative active. It looks for all the world like an optative or something silly. For the yet once thing reveals the, three words down, transformation, metathesen, the transformation of the things being shaken as... things having been made, in order that the things not being shaken may remain. The day of judgment will bring a kind of a winnowing, a separating. Some, there'll be both continuity with the old creation and discontinuity, right? Some things will disappear, some things will remain, right? That's the mystery that we can't quite sort out. Verse 28, therefore, dia, basilean asaliutan paralambanantes, ekomen karen, dehes latriomen eorestos totheo meta eolabeas kai deus, kai gar hatheas hemon pir kat analiskan. Therefore, receiving paralambanantes, receiving a kingdom. What kind of a kingdom or a reign? An asaliutan, an unshakable one. Present eschatology. We have received, right, an unshakable reign. Let us have gratitude. Karin can mean gratitude. And with echo like this as the direct object, that's what it means. Let us have gratitude through which, through this gratitude, let us serve... La treu omen, another hortatory subjunctive. Let us serve well-pleasingly God with piety and awe. I've never seen this word before in my life. Deus. This is ta deas, third declension, and it means awe or reverence. And this is just the genitive singular. And why should we do that? For, famous verse, also... our God, supply of verb, is a pure, a fire. What kind of a fire? This is the present participle active of kat analisko, which means, in this context, to consume. devour. Again, fairly stern image, right? So with fear and reverence, we go about the life that God has given us with gratitude and serving him, right? Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. And that's, we finished chapter 12, right? And it's time to stop. So
I hear
one more chapter, I'll tell you. And so, again, we're open to suggestions from our vast international listenership and also from those who are here in the flesh. Will, let's see, you mentioned actually one suggestion, Ephesians or something?
I suggested 2 Corinthians.
Oh, 2 Corinthians, that's right, for a slightly non-altruistic motive. So, yeah, that's cool. Right, that's right. So, well, it's all inspired, so we'll certainly take that under advisement, yeah. Okay, very good.
Do you think that deos word is a borrowed word from Latin?
I don't know.
You know, awe?
Yeah, I suspected what it might mean, but I had to look it up.
No.